Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, we continue our examination of creativity in later life.
This week, we welcome Marily Opezzo, who is a postdoctoral research fellow at Stanford and a behavioral and learning scientist. One of her research areas is how walking can be used to improve people's cognitive and creative thinking. And it is this topic that is the focus of our show today. Welcome to the program, Marily.
Thank you for having me.
We're very happy to have you here today. What initially prompted you to study the impact of exercise on creative thinking?
Actually, the thing that prompted this study was walking with my advisor. We were trying to think of the next study to run, and we often took walks to think about new ideas and thought a lot of famous thinkers have said that walking helps creative thought and thinking, but has anyone ever tested it? That would be interesting. And it turned out nobody had ever really empirically done it, so that's what we set out to do. So we actually came up with the idea while walking, ironically.
What did your study reveal about the link between walking and creativity?
We did four different studies with two different tests of creative thinking, and it showed that people compared to themselves when they were sitting had more and more creative ideas when they were walking. This was regardless of whether or not they were indoors on a treadmill in a windowless room or outside on a university campus, even in the rain. So we did find that the walking was an individual effect. Early creativity research considered creativity a trait that people were born with. They either had it or they didn't. But more recently, people were looking at how can we give strategies to people to increase their own creative thinking. And walking, turns out, is one of them.
What is it about walking in particular that sparks creative thinking?
That's a good question. We don't exactly know. We did find that walking did not help and in some instances hurt more focused thinking. So if there was one correct answer, people did either know better or worse while they were walking compared to when they were sitting. So it seems that walking was actually specifically beneficial for more divergent thinking or thinking of many different ideas. Several people have offered possible hypotheses. From the neuropsychology side of things, they think that perhaps it is tamping down your filter and it just allows you to kind of take in more information. It sort of flattens the hierarchy of ideas by kind of redistributing blood into a different area of the brain. It's called the transhypofrontality hypothesis. But what that basically means is that maybe when we're walking, we're just more in tune to different things around us and more open to seeing new things as opposed to when we're seated. And the evolutionary psychology argument would be like, well, yeah, if you're walking, you're going to need to take in new information and learn new places where you are. So it's important to be open to that rather than zoning in and focused on one thing. So the answer to that question is I don't know, but people have ideas about it.
What are the practical applications for the results of your study?
I think the practical applications, and that was one of the interesting things is why we ran this in the first place. We were trying to think about how to incorporate more physical activity during everyday tasks, especially work tasks where you might be sedentary most of the day. And I don't think the answer is just walk all the time, because I think very specific tasks do better while walking, and other tasks that require more focus seem to benefit from actually sitting or being still. But I think the implications are if you have a task that you need to think of new ideas about, go for a walk while you're thinking about it. And it's not the shower effect. So a lot of people ask, well, isn't this like I get a good idea when I'm in the shower? It's just like I'm distracted. And that's not exactly what this effect was. It's actually that they were thinking about the problem while they were walking. So the shower effect is sort of I'm thinking about the shampoo bottle and then all of a sudden I remember that person's name or a good idea for my paper or whatever. But the walking effect is like, I've got the problem. I'm going to go think about it while I'm walking. The second thing is the results were spoken. So people were speaking their ideas instead of writing them down. Part of the reason why we chose to have people speak their answers was because writing in of itself is a filter. When you decide, is it good enough to write on the piece of paper, then you're kind of already filtering yourself, and we wanted unfiltered ideas. The second practical reason was that they were walking, and we didn't want to have them write while they were walking. So I think if people are stuck on a problem or they want to come up with different perspectives, is to think about it actively while walking and record yourself thinking about it and coming up with as many different ways of thinking about it as you can. That way you're not filtering yourself with the pen and paper.
The participants in your study, I think, were community college students. Can you extrapolate from those results to consider how walking might impact creativity over the lifespan?
Yeah, good question. So we ran one study in community college students, two in private university students, and then one in just all adults. So it was all ages. So we saw the effect regardless of age and regardless of gender and also regardless of IQ. I think to that degree, because of the study where we included all adults, it was sort of a population of convenience, then we believe that the results are fairly generalizable.
How could individuals in later life boost their creative output?
I just recently read a study out of Harvard, I think, that shows actually a creative burst that happens after the age of 50. And it's something about how a lot of the cognitive tests that people run on psych undergrad students are these kind of focused thinking tasks rather than this sort of divergent thinking, which kind of requires you to not zone in on one thing and be one viewed about something. It requires lots of different perspectives. And this is something that this Harvard study indicated that it gets better as you age. I think that if you want to boost your creativity, there are a lot of different strategies to do so, but this was pretty simple and easy, and I think anyone can deploy it. So moving more, I think, is the best prescription to capitalize on this strategy.
It does sound like the best prescription and one that's so easily attainable, which is what is so positive. Dr. Marilee Opezo, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.